guys, welcome to episode 187 of the PS3 Blockcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Messiah, I believe, is busy with something. I don't know. She's away. So she won't be joining. But it's fine because there's not a ton of news, even though we were off last week, because there's not a lot of news during the holidays.
And the week before.
Yeah. Was it the week before?
Yeah. We were lazy.
Was it lazy or busy? I thought people were busy. I thought it was like you guys couldn't do Saturday, but I couldn't do Sunday because I had to do that's what it was. Yeah, I had to do like a family dinner thing or something like that. So
yeah, we gross. Couldn't do it then.
But yeah, it sucked. So again, because there's no news, the only news that there was from the last weeks that we could have talked about was flash sales and the really good pricing that some things were discounted to. But I think Wolfenstein was like $9 and the expansion was $4 or something like that. Or maybe it was $7. It was ridiculous. I was like, holy shit. And then Skull of the First Sin for Dark Souls got discounted down to 50%, so it was like $20. Which is funny because my cousin bought it on disc like a few days before because he really wanted to play it. And I was like, oh man, it's totally discounted, like $20. He's like, god damn it. But yeah, there were a lot of games that were, you know, discounted during the flash sale. So that was... that was pretty cool. I don't think I bought any because I did. Oh, I did buy Rainbow Six Siege because that was discounted. And I was like, eh, my cousin was playing it.
Did that just come out?
That came out the beginning of December, the first week.
It's already discounted? That can't be a good sign.
It was dropped. They've done that before, like games that came out and then a month later they get during flash sales, anyways. And the flash sales are typically only during like holiday times. But I think it was like. Because, like, Tales from the Borderlands, the full game, when that came out, that was discounted a ton during, was it PSX, I believe? And that had just came out in its entirely, like, not too long beforehand. That's when I bought it for, like, $7.50. But, yeah, it wasn't, like, Rainbow was discounted a ton. I think it was $44 for Plus, less for... Not Plus, please, people. But
that's still, yeah, fairly normal price.
Yeah, so I picked that up because I was like, he plays it, and I figured, oh, it looked fun when I was out watching like Twitch stream it, so I figured I'd give it a shot. But other than that, yeah, in sales there wasn't much in the way of news, so I figured we'll just talk about games. It'll be a short episode. We'll talk about, I guess you finished the Bloodborne DLC, so I guess we could talk about Bloodborne, and then we could talk about Fallout, because I finished Fallout.
What? You can't finish Fallout?
Don't be one of those people. I know, you're just messing. Alright, so I guess since you just finished Bloodborne, you can go ahead, or the DLC, you can...
That DLC was awesome. I don't know why, but they seem to just nail DLC every time they do it. Lady Maria, possibly my favorite fight in all of the Souls series. I honestly just want more. Like, I finished it and I was like, well, now I'm in the mood for Bloodborne again and there's never going to be more of it.
Yeah, she was really good. That was the fight I was talking about that had like one of my favorite fights.
It was a ridiculously good fight. It was one of those kind of incredibly fair fights. What I loved about it is it kind of trains you to... improve throughout the fight. Like, you start off and she pretty much uses the same moves the entire fight. They just get more slightly more complicated and slightly more difficult to dodge, but they still have like the base form.
They get extended range and do more damage.
Extended range damage and, like, you know, slightly different reach. So it was incredibly awesome. I love the tone of it. I didn't realize how much I missed the Bloodborne world until I went back to it. Like, when I first played through Bloodborne, it was pretty much right on the tails of you know, having recently gone back to Dark Souls 2.
Yeah.
So while I loved it, I was like, well, you know, this is a really solid game. It's not the best Souls game I've ever played. But then, man, coming back to it, I didn't realize how much I actually missed it.
Yeah. It was good to go back to. I played a good amount of it co-op initially. We'd go through and like play through an area, and then once we got to a bonfire, we'd go back and replay it on the other person's game, because it obviously doesn't save the progress from the bonfire. and then get invaded before we kill like the Belchine maidens and stuff. That was a lot of fun. But then once it got to a certain point, then he just went off and did his thing, and we did we co-opted it later. But
can you even do Lady Maria co-op?
Yeah, you can do every fight co-op.
So I finished. I tried helping people after, like, I beat the DLC twice, because I wanted to see, you know, how it was co-op, and I couldn't actually beat Lady Maria or like summon people for Lady Maria on co-op, so I didn't know if it was actually possible or not.
Yeah, you can summon people. I think, yeah, when you get there, you have to, after you beat that first boss area beforehand, and you know, the Sunflowers, you have to leave and then come back, and then it doesn't block the bell.
But man, the best part about Bloodborne, the level layout, they finally, like, Bloodborne had a lot of the kind of twisting level layouts where you unlock shortcuts and they wrap around back on itself. Dark Souls 2 didn't really have that. Like, Dark Souls 2 kind of took the linear approach where nothing was really overlaid on top of each other. But man, the DLC, the research halls, that was a ridiculously cool level.
Yeah, and I like how the whole thing played backwards, timeline-wise. Like, you start, you keep going further and further in the past. Like, you go to Ludwig, and then you go back to see the experiments that the church is doing, and then you go back to see the fishing village that Bergenworth visited, and then you go all the way back to even the final bit where, you know, Koss is there, but stuff. I like how it goes backwards in time as far as events go.
Yeah. That was really cool. I loved the story for it, which I didn't think I actually would, but the story was kind of disturbing and fantastic in its own twisted way. When you go back and you find out that Bergenworth went to the little fishing town to do experiments, and it all kind of starts unfolding of how, like, you still don't have all of the answers, but you have a good idea of kind of how this all came about.
Yeah.
The only thing I want more of is I just wish it was longer. And it was long, I just wish there was more of it, because, you know, I miss it now.
Isaiah came back, she's like, you didn't text. It's like, I did. She's like, we didn't hear from you. She's like, did not.
I'm all, well, maybe your phone's being weird. Phone is strange. Last night, you sent those two texts about Fallout, and it took like 30 minutes for them to come through. For 30 minutes, I had a message pop up that said, you know, trying to get media.
I don't know. Well, I sent that you guys available today message, and you responded right back.
Yeah, no, I got it, but I'm saying sometimes your phone is fucked up.
Nah, I think it's our carriers are fucking each other up. They don't. Our carriers don't like each other. But all right. Well,
Android phone or a Win or a.
What?
Do you have an iPhone or an Android?
iPhone. I don't use Android. All right. Let me add her to the call. One sec. Calling you. Boop doo doo. And then she can come in. We'll see what happens.
Mad at you.
Nah, she was cleaning the tree, so she can be mad at the tree. It's not like she messed with the Bloodborne talk.
Cleaning the tree?
That's what she said, cleaning the tree, so she had to clean the tree.
Cleaning the tree, is that like a euphemism for something, or like cleaning the actual Christmas tree?
We were picking up the Christmas tree. Could you guys hear the vacuum?
No.
Okay. My dad's vacuuming. No, we were putting up the Christmas tree, and so I was downstairs, and I didn't get a text. So I was like, I don't know why he didn't text me yet. And then
see, JCM's phone sucks.
I texted like, and you got my text. I don't know why I didn't get my text. Typically, it's you.
No, it's probably my phone, because like I'll get your guys' texts throughout the day, but I'll get like 14 of them at a time. So I don't know.
Typically, it's Isley that doesn't get a text, and then randomly I get your text perfect, and then Izzy's text will just come in at a strange time. I'll be like, what? That was so weird.
Or out of order, as complicated our Metal Gear argument.
That was tough. But outside of that, it doesn't really happen a lot. I hate it when I text someone and I text them like in one giant block, and then the carrier breaks it up into like three chunks and then it just flips it out of order, that annoys me.
Well, on New Year's when Zaya was texting, my phone decided that all of her texts were going to say they came from 2014.
Nice.
So apparently she can time travel.
She's texting you from the past.
Yes, that is exactly what happened.
I wish I would have known I had that ability.
It would have been very useful.
I know, right?
Tell us what to invest in.
Yeah.
But E3 predictions. No, just kidding. Let's see. So we were just talking about, since there's no news, we're just talking about games that we played, and Izzy was talking about Bloodborne.
How awesome it was.
Yeah. That really fucked up DLC.
That was really fucked up. Wow. The people trapped in little potato sacks.
Yeah. With the brain things.
Brain fluid, man. They had to get it to ascend. They
can hear the mushy water. Heads. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was, I thought you were kidding when you were like, this was fucking horrifying. And then I actually played it and I'm like, wow, this really is fucking horrifying.
And the pressure plate, acid spitting bookshelves.
Yeah, it took me a while to realize what was actually causing that. Because I would just run past it and it would never hit me. Mm-hmm. And then I finally realized that there were traps and I'm like, wow, I'm really not observant right now.
Yeah, I was playing with my cousin that section and we were running through and he's like, yeah, watch out, because some of these bookshelves, they throw acid in your face. And I'm like, but he didn't say there's a switch. He just said, just watch out. So he tried to roll past certain ones. So I was trying to figure out in the lore what the fuck was going on. I was like, well, it can't be ghosts because that wouldn't make any sense. I mean, there's ghosts in Kanehurst, but you see them. And I was like, there's no haunting the bookshelf. That doesn't fit this game. I was like, what the hell's going on? And then I realized later that it's a pressure plate. And I was like, okay, well, now it makes sense. But
yeah, that DLC was fucked up. There was a lot in it that just made me like kind of do a double take and look at it and go, wow, this is really twisted. No, like even Ludwig, when you first see him and he's falling apart and he's all fucked up, mm-hmm. then every mm-hmm. boss after is exactly the same in terms of like being messed up. And then you get to Lady Maria and she's got, you know, a cut across her throat like she killed herself, and all of her attacks spout blood from her throat as she's attacking.
Yeah.
She just came to the blood, started using
and then attack. Orphan of Kaz crawls out of his dead mother's body and uses the umbilical cord as a weapon.
Yeah. What's weird about that is that Mikalash, you know, he talks to Kaz in the nightmare, and he's saying, you know, can you hear our prayers and all that stuff, which is in the present. But so I'm wondering, does he not know that in that Kaz is dead? Like, or does Kaz come back at some point? That's what threw me off.
I think they probably don't know that Kaz is dead because Kaz is their deity, and it's.
But they must.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, Kaz washed up in Bergenworth. Like.
Well, that was a fishing village.
The fishing village, not Bergenworth. But Kaz washed up in the fishing village for Bergenworth to come there. So obviously, there was knowledge that Kaz was dead.
Mm-hmm. But you figured he would have it. But that's why it was kind of strange.
It did put to rest a lot of the debates of, like, you know, there were comments over misinterpreting things that bosses say, like when he says that Kaz and Kazim are one and the same, and then when he says that like the cosmos is directly above us or something, when it actually literally is directly above.
Well, yeah, you definitely see that becomes super apparent in the DLC when the seashell creature falls from the sky. And
I didn't know what the fuck happened with that. Like, I was running through, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, a seashell creature falls on top of me. I was like, where the fuck did this come from? Did I trigger a trap?
Yeah, and then when you're in the fishing village, you can see Yharnam in the water. And then you can also see what I didn't notice until I watched one of Vadi's videos, is that the boats, the masts for the sails that you can see off in the distance in the fishing village, are sticking up below or through the clouds in the nightmare of Menses.
Oh yeah, I noticed that one before.
So they're all the nightmares are all layered, which I thought was really cool. It was interesting. I really like the DLC and all the stuff they added. there's a Vadi does a good videos about the whole DLC and talking about lore stuff like that. I really wish there was more DLC now.
Exactly. See, it was like it was just enough to get you interested, and it was long. I mean, I think I'm all things considered, by the end, I spent like 6 hours beating the DLC, which is actually fairly substantial considering I think I beat the game in like 15 or something.
I was supposed to be two parts, and then they decided just to put it all in one.
Right. Yeah. No, it was a substantial DLC. It's just I finished it in one sitting because I was enjoying it, and I kind of wanted to complete it. Like, I didn't want to just stop and come back. I had that desire to finish it. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as it was done, I was like, man, you know, I really want another Bloodborne game or, like, more DLC or some news that this world isn't just going to end here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, even a comment from someone saying, you know, we're considering Bloodborne 2 would be cool, but as it is now, we don't really know if Bloodborne will ever have more to it.
Right. Yeah. So now we just have to wait and see. But yeah, it was really good DLC. I liked it a lot. The only fight I haven't done is the what's his name? The Fiery Beast.
Oh, I don't remember.
Lawrence.
Yeah.
I didn't do that fight because it was optional, so I didn't go back to it at the time.
I did that one accidentally.
Accidentally?
Yeah, like I went down to the fight. Well, the first time you run up to the Fiery Beast, you're walking up slowly, and it's like, is this going to attack me? Mm-hmm. Is this going to attack me? Okay, it's not going to attack me. And then you walk up, and you're like, maybe it will attack me if I grab the item in front of it. It doesn't do anything. So I found Lawrence's skull, and I was running around, and I went back to that area because I was just exploring, and I couldn't quite remember what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it gets up and I'm like, oh fuck. That's good. I didn't actually think that fight was that tough though. Orphan of Kaz was a bitch though.
Yeah, that fight was annoying.
That was the hardest fight that's been in the game so far. By far.
But, it was good times. Yeah. Great DLC. We'll see what happens next. Hopefully there'll be a Bloodborne 2 at some point.
I don't even know what they would do. I don't think I want a Bloodborne. Okay. Sounds contradictory. I don't think I want a Bloodborne 2. Like, Demon's Souls had the one-off, and obviously Dark Souls didn't really continue after Demon's Souls.
Well,
I think I like...
Demon's Souls had the one-off because Sony had to own the rights to that name. So they couldn't do a Demon's Souls 2, so they did Dark Souls. It's like you basically say, okay, it's the I can't make Mega Man, so I'll make Mighty Number 9. It's essentially almost the same thing, where it's like, well, we'll just take the same idea and just make a little... Granted, it won't be in that world, but it's almost the same. It's like a carbon copy, except for the story elements.
I think I really like the idea of Souls games continuing with, like, kind of the dark thematic tones along with the hard gameplay, but visiting different settings.
But they're all connected, from a lore perspective.
I mean, Demon's Souls isn't connected to Dark Souls.
No.
Souls isn't connected to Bloodborne.
But Dark Souls and Dark Souls 3 are to Dark Souls 3. They're all connected. Whereas they could do like a Bloodborne 2 that can take place earlier or later than the events or something. But
no, right. But I mean, I like them visiting completely different worlds with different iterations like that.
We'll see.
Like, I don't think we would have ever gotten the Cthulhu-themed thing with anything Dark Souls-related, because it's kind of steeped in the dark medieval fantasy. I don't think they ever would have touched on Cthulhu at all. And then, similarly, I don't think Bloodborne was ever going to go to the knights in shining armor, even though you see, like, you know, dead knights with their armor when you explore the Chalice Dungeons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hope they do, because I'm not a huge fan of the Dark Souls aesthetic, so...
Right, so you... Well, see, so you would enjoy if they made a new Souls-themed game that wasn't Dark Souls.
A Bloodborne-esque game.
Yes.
I want a Bloodborne. I just want more Bloodborne. Because I'm more invested in that world than I am in the Dark Souls stuff, so if it was still, like, the Lovecraftian style, I suppose, but then it'd be weird to have them do an entirely different, like, mythos... Then, in lore, than they have in Bloodborne. If they didn't do a direct Bloodborne sequel, I'd be like, oh, now I gotta. I liked all that stuff I learned about the previous one.
The Bloodborne world, though, like, it was... Okay, I'm not going to say it was straightforward, but the lore in Bloodborne was pushed much more to the forefront than in Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even the stuff that's in Dark Souls, I didn't really care about when, even if I watch videos explaining, like, you know, about the queen coming to town and corrupting the king and starting the war with the giants and all this stuff. It's like, this isn't that interesting to me, though. I didn't care. Like, I watch it just to know it, but it's like, I just enjoyed the gameplay. I didn't care about any of that other stuff.
See, I always thought the most interesting part about Dark Souls was just the idea that it was a cyclical universe, and mm-hmm. that pretty much no matter what you did, you couldn't, like, each game was kind of, and I'm assuming 3 will be similar, but 1 and 2 were both kind of based around the idea that if you make a different choice, maybe things will turn out better this time, and maybe you'll be able to, you know, break the curse and finally end the cycle.
Yeah.
And 2, or 1 ends with thinking, well, depending on which choice you made, 1 ends with, you kind of thinking this is the final time you'll be doing this. After this, it'll be over and you won't have to worry about it anymore. And then 2 starts and you find out, well, was wrong about that. Turns out it didn't matter at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we'll see what happens with the 3, which will be the last of the Dark Souls games. But it'll be interesting.
And then we get Samurai Souls.
Yeah, with Neo.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, don't laugh. That's what they actually said was going to be the inspiration for it. When really Ninja Gaiden was difficult before Dark Souls and Demon Souls ever came along.
Mm-hmm. So putting the 2 together is just like hell.
Yeah, probably. It looks neat, though.
It does look really cool, but I will never play it.
What? Why?
We'll play it. Because I can't break or bite any more controllers.
You need
I want to see you bite a controller. That sounds really funny. I just picked it up anime style, like where it's like the angry cat like grin kind of thing. She's like gnawing on the controller.
I can see that.
That's so funny. It's like all the
I can't bite the PS4 controller because it's like that the touchscreen, the button thing, and if I don't throw it, it's gonna ruin it.
You chew off the rubber on the analog sticks.
Yeah. At least on the PS3 controller there's just a bite mark.
What?
God, but what it's not that? Broken. That's the point. It didn't end up in the wall across the room. It still functioned.
That's fun.
It's just what game was it? That when you died a bunch, it put a chicken on your head and made you play. Was it Metal Gear?
You didn't have to do the chicken, but it was the chicken.
It offered the chicken.
Yeah, so you need like a chicken for Dark Souls.
Yeah, I need a chicken hat for Dark Souls. And then I'll play it.
There you go.
Although I think everyone would get it if they based it off of deaths.
Yeah. You have to have like I said, but it's just the option to say it have to be deaths in the same spot. That's typically how those games work. It's not just, oh, I died 10 times through the course of this game. It's you died 10 times at the exact same spot from the same group of enemies.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You rolled off that cliff 20 times. We're going to put up bumpers.
We're going to put up bumpers because you shouldn't be rolling off of stupid shit.
Yeah. No. There's this little, like, neon-colored, like, bowling alley bumpers along on the cliff when you go back.
Yeah. It's like they just moved the level box into the invisible wall. It's like, well, now you can't because you just put the invisible wall there.
I'd watch that Twitch stream.
That'd be funny. But what have you been playing, Zaya?
Mostly 14 because I've been trying to complete my Void Arc sets.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so tired of Void Arc. I did Void Arc all this week and I didn't once see the piece that I needed drop. I need like the casting legs to finish my casting gear set,
mm-hmm.
and it hasn't dropped at all. And I think I'm going to blow up the Void Arc.
Uh-oh.
Just don't bite your computer.
Right? Like I just pick up my keyboard and gnaw on it.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, I played a little bit more of Ori and Pokemon.
You're complaining about hard games and you're playing Ori?
Ori's not that hard. Ori's not as hard as Dark Souls.
I've seen people play that game. That seems to be like okay, as well, it's frustrating not as Dark Souls.
It's not difficult yet. I mean, I die a lot, and it's kind of, but it's more like my own stupidity. Like, I don't see where I'm supposed to jump, or I don't see where I'm supposed to go. Mm-hmm. More, less so than, like, stuff just obliterating my life force.
Do-do-do. Life force
obliterated. Yeah. It is not as hard as Dark Souls.
Dark Souls and has it's fast. Sexy violent
I almost considered playing Bloodborne because it's faster than Dark Souls. I don't like slow, like, heavy feeling gameplay.
Yeah, that is
where it's really like dodge based and timing based, and just, I don't know. Bloodborne seemed a lot faster, so I considered that until I actually watched people play it, and I was like, nope.
Yeah,
when my cousin was playing faster gameplay.
When he was playing Dark Souls 2, Scarlet for Sinners before, he's like, man, it's so bad going back to this after playing Bloodborne.
You don't realize how slow it actually is.
Yeah.
But that's what I hear a lot of people say. I'm watching somebody right now on Twitch that's going through Dark Souls 2, and they just completed Bloodborne. And the shift in gameplay is just like, that alone is killing them all the time.
I mean, I still love Dark Souls. I will be anxious to go back to a game that has a shield in it. Mm-hmm. But it is really slow.
Yeah.
There's a shield in the DLC for Bloodborne.
There is, and it actually sort of works.
Yeah, it's used in one boss fight.
Well, I mean, the shield in the first one, it's like it's a wooden shield. I can't remember exactly what it's the word description is, but it's like it's a wooden shield.
It doesn't do much.
Yeah, it doesn't do much. And it's true, it does nothing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the new shield in the DLC actually is useful for one attack during one boss, and that's it. Which, by the way, that was the creepiest boss. Orphan of Kaz was weird and hard. That was the creepiest boss.
I guess, yeah, because it screams a lot. I guess the scream sound file is the same as German's scream as well, but
it wasn't just the screams. It was the fact that I'm fighting, like, weird living experiments, and there's five of them, and they slowly approach you, and every time I, you know, turn around, there's, like, three behind me.
Oh, you mean the failed experiments?
Yeah, the failed experiments.
You said, you said Orphan of Kaz, and I was like,
no, Orphan of Kaz was the hardest, but not the creepiest.
Well, you said creepiest because you said Orphan of Kaz. You didn't say the failed experiments. That's why I thought it was weird. We were talking about that fight, and then you said Orphan of Kaz, and I was like, why did he jump fight suddenly?
No.
Okay, so we're just talking about the failed experiments. Oops. Yeah, those
read my mind, Jason.
Yeah, those things are fucking weird.
Yeah, they are pretty weird looking.
And then the mushy brain heads, I didn't understand what the point of them was, so I just killed all of them.
You gotta collect that brain fluid and give it to the one.
No, then I found that out. I give it to her, and she's like, oh, thanks, you.
She ascends.
Allow me to make my head get. Where were the eyeballs on the giant heads? That was what bothered me.
They don't
have eyeballs.
They had eyes on the inside.
They were like.
Well, there's that one in the pool. She's like, my eyes, they're in the pool. I was like, what?
She's like, I can't find him. She's like, well, they're eyes on the inside now because they've got all this brain fluid. They're ascending, getting closer to the
potato sack people, and if you stand near them, they shoot out like the weird little spiny things.
They can be frenzy. But yeah, that's fun.
But
yeah, I wanted to get back into 14. I know they had that December 4-day free get back into it if you last year subscription, but I was just too busy. I never had a chance to do it, but I do want to come back to that at some point. I just want to do all the story stuff. I just miss being in there. I can always just keep it logged in, but then I don't know if I'll actually do anything, but I do want to go back to that. I do miss playing that game.
They're supposed to do the next chunk of story soon, I think. Maybe not this month, but next month.
14 was fun.
It is. You should play it.
I did play it before.
Play it more.
It's still going.
Flash's girlfriend picked it up over Christmas, I guess, because her brother and brother's fiance play it or whatever. And
okay.
So they're like trying to get Flash to get it. And then they're like, oh, you should play. She's like, well, if you guys play on Leviathan, I'll totally join because I know people on Leviathan. And then so they go, And they go, oh, okay. And then, but then they server jump, but they don't server jump to Leviathan. They go to some, they go to Excalibur. And then he.
Oh, really?
He, yeah, so they're like, oh, so you should come join us. And he's like, you didn't go to Leviathan. You went to Excalibur. He's like, I'm not playing.
Tell him I'm on Excalibur.
You had said that you might jump servers, at least back, you know, a couple months ago, I think.
Oh, yeah. I don't know when I'm going to, so.
But there's a bunch of people on Leviathan, so he wants to go there. And he's like, and then, of course, it costs $18 to transfer, so they don't want to do it again because they got three characters. And
he's like, well, then I'm $18 to transfer?
Yep.
Yep. To migrate the characters over.
But sad.
That's not... Well, I assume for the... Because it was free after the
beta. It was about that for 11, too, so.
Yeah, I think it was for 11 as well.
It's like $15.
Yeah.
See, I go through phases with MMOs where I will play one almost exclusively at the expense of like all other games for a while, and then something will just click, and I'll go back to console games for, you know, a year or two, and then I'll just get the craving to go back to an MMO, and I'll dive back in, and that will be the only thing I play again.
Typically, it was always I'd play it and then, you know, stop to play whatever single player game came out that I wanted, and then go back to play the MMO. But, or just log in during raid nights or whatever. But then it was like too many games started coming out. So then I started playing a bunch of those. That's why I stopped when the PS4 came out, because like I played all the PS4 launch games and played a bunch of games online on there, and then bought it again once the PS4 version came out. Then played it, then would stop intermediate every time there was a new release, and then go back to play 14. Then it was like just a bunch of games came out, and we'll see now. But yeah,
now there's even more games coming out. There's never going to be a drought of PS4 games again. So yeah,
it's the length of them, because it was The Witcher, and The Witcher was huge, and Metal Gear was a big game, and then I beat Fallout 4 a lot quicker than I beat Metal Gear or The Witcher. So you know, there was those big games where there's not as many big. Like, if it's a single-player game, like, oh, it's Uncharted. Well, I can beat Uncharted, you know, 10 hours or whatever, if it's a long game or whatever. Those are fine. It's the big ones that were slowing me down.
Yeah. Fallout 4, not a very long game.
No. Even when I was doing side steps with my character, still, it went pretty quick. Like, I didn't spend a whole lot of time there, but...
That you've beaten it, is your biggest complaint that it has radiant quests instead of unique quests?
I don't mind the Radiant Quest because they always sent me to a place I haven't visited yet that I didn't know where it was. So I didn't mind that. It was when they started to, instead of going to new places, recycling places I've been to that I cleared out that now are repopulated, and that annoyed me because I'm like, now this place has enemies again. I already cleared it out. Or when I talked to, when Preston's like, hey, there's a village and they need your help. And then I go there and they're like, they're close to the Glowing Sea, which is the coolest area of that map, by the way. I love the Glowing Sea. And then they're like, hey, we need help with these raiders. They took over this place. Can you deal with it? And it's all the way across the map. Like, you don't fucking go over there. It's way over there. You wouldn't use the workbench at that fucking place. Shut up. And it's like, what the hell? You wouldn't do that. I would be like...
That happens surprisingly often, too, where it's like, yeah, you know, we're having trouble with these raiders on the other side of the map. They keep stealing our stuff.
It's like obviously they have to come up with new places for you to go because you've already been there. But I didn't mind doing them. I like doing the ones for the Brotherhood. I did those for a while. The collect the item and then kill. You really only had to kill one enemy in the zone, but I'd go through because one thing I like doing them as well is because even if it was to a place I'd already been, because it repopulated, I'd collect more gear and make more money. And then I'd, you know. That's the one thing about like being over-encumbered in the game was like me all the time because I didn't invest much in strength. Like my initial build was intelligence and charisma because I'm like, well, I want to be able to hack everything and I want to be able to talk my way through everything. So I maxed those out. And
which intelligence turns out to be pretty much useless.
It does affect your experience points gain too.
Yeah, but if you get idiot savant instead, you level up so much faster.
But the difference between them, I watched a video of a guy doing the difference between both of them. It's not a huge one, if your intelligence is maxed versus your intelligence being low. If your intelligence is low, you do get more benefit from Idiot Savant, but even with the max intelligence, it's like it's still, you know, whatever. And I didn't care. I just wanted to hack terminals because I liked hacking terminals. I hated coming across terminals like, oh, you can't hack this. And I'm like, I want to be able to get that as soon as possible. But, yeah, there weren't, like, any intelligence dialogue options like there weren't Fallout 3. But the one thing I did hate about the game is I couldn't skip the goddamn vendor dialogue. That pissed me off. It's like I'm mashing X just to get past it. It's like, it's so annoying.
You want a barter? Maybe.
Yeah. We're having a sale on brooms. It's like, no, you don't. You don't have brooms. Quit saying that. And then that pissed me off. What else annoyed me in the game? That was basically it. It was just the vendors really just like, I do like that they did that thing where if you didn't do something quick enough, you fail. I had some quests.
Oh yeah.
I had some quests active to help a kidnapping and then help another village. And then it was like, but I just did the Silver Shroud final quest. So I was waiting for the guy to show back up at the radio station. So I was resting for like a week trying to get him to show up back at the place. And he didn't show up. But then it's like, oh, you failed these quests because you took too long. And I'm like, oh, I don't care. Because I didn't know.
It takes a while for that to actually happen.
Yeah, I skipped like a couple days and then it said they failed, which I thought was really funny. And then there was that. Also, the stupid Silver Shroud quest glitched out on me, so that pissed me off. I couldn't upgrade the armor that I got. So that really annoyed me because I really wanted to upgrade that gear because it looked really good. But whatever. So I bet.
That's why you kill Maxon.
I didn't care about Echo really.
What?
Nah, it was. I didn't.
It's like the only interesting coat in the entire game.
Yeah, I just spent so much time in power armor that it didn't matter. But it's like I don't even care what I wear anymore because I'm constantly in this power armor. It feels like, which I did because I wanted the increased strength so I can carry more stuff. And then I immediately did the leveled up my strength so I could do the fast travel while over encumbered because I was picking up stuff all the time. I carry so much junk just to take it back. Oh, adhesive? I need this. But
so do you agree that Fallout 4 was kind of like two steps forward, one step back? Two steps forward, one and a half steps back?
I don't know what would be for the series. I mean, it was fun. I enjoyed it. It wasn't like anything crazy, especially I guess for the franchise. If you compare it to the franchises, yeah, I don't see it being a giant step forward from 3. It's like you had the crafting system, which I had fun with. I didn't do like for the weapons. I didn't do anything for the settlements. I skipped all that crap. And then I didn't like the truncated dialogue for your choices. I liked how they modded that on PC to where you could actually see what you're going to say, because I felt like you suffered from the L.A. Noire situation, where it's like, doubt. Well, I assume the character's going to be like, I doubt that. But then you doubt, and it's more like, I fucking doubt you did any of that shit. It's like, whoa, calm down. That's not what I chose at all. I didn't realize you would say that. So it's nice. It's like, I hate on the console that you can't see exactly what's going to be said. But that was one thing that kind of bugged me. And then not having all those options, like the only thing in dialogue that you could ever do was only charisma-based. Like I said, there was no perception or intelligence options. And I didn't like that perception didn't allow you to see the enemy radar or enemy dots on your radar.
Yeah, that was a weird change. I mean, I don't think it really... I know why they did it. They said they made it that way so you had to like pay more attention to the world around you and it felt like it was more dangerous. But it didn't really do that for me. It just kind of frustrated me.
Yeah, it was annoying because it's like, oh, now suddenly there's a bear right there and he's going to murder me because I didn't see the dot.
For me, it just made it so I went through the entire game clicking bats constantly to see if enemies popped up.
Oh, I never did that. I just looked on screen and then if I heard something or if Nick goes, you know, whatever. But or if I see a floating animal in the air, I'm like, well, there must be something nearby because there's floating animals.
But yeah, Fallout 4, it got rid of a lot of like random... It got rid of different ways to do things. There was only one way to complete things, and that was kill everything. So it kind of went away from the RPG elements, and it made it slightly more of a shallow game, which was what I didn't really like about it.
Well, there were some quests where there were a lot of dialogue options to get away from the violence.
There were some, but not I guess not nearly as many as previous games. If you take it on its own merits, sure. But I mean, this was one of the first Fallout games that you couldn't beat with just high charisma talking your way out of everything. I mean, hell, Fallout New Vegas, at the very end of it, you can talk the boss down and just convince him to go away. Mm-hmm. And he's like your best friend for it.
Yeah, I never played Vegas, so. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I enjoyed it, but it was just nothing, like I said, for what I remember from 3 that I enjoyed playing 3. There were a lot of quests that I thought were fun in 4 that I didn't expect, like the Silver Shroud, the whole quest line there. I liked exploring the Yellow Sea. I thought that was a ton of fun. That whole area was great. Finding all the distress signals and crashed airplane signals and all that stuff in that area, exploring it and worrying about the radiation. That was really cool. I like that, the whole feel of that zone. The children of Adam that are there, it's like, what? How are you guys here? That was a lot of fun.
But, I don't know. A lot of things in that game just kind of felt shallow or pointless to me. More so than other Fallout games. I still enjoyed it, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, still had a blast. I played the hell out of it.
I definitely
got my money's worth. I just wanted, like, I won't be going back to it until there's DLC. I won't be, you know, playing it on and off until there's DLC. I'll just put it down, and whenever they release something, I'll dive back in.
Yeah, I might go back and platinum it at some point, because I just have to load up a save to make a different quest line choice, and then just do some minor stuff that's easy to do. Like,
yeah, it's a pretty easy platinum.
Yeah, it's really simple to do stuff. Like, the ones I have left, it's all ones just like hit the home run with that one baseball bat, but I threw it away pretty early on, but you can get it easily.
Oh, it's not actually hitting the home run, it's just running the bases in Diamond City.
Oh, just running the bases? Oh, okay, I thought it would be smacking someone with a baseball bat.
Yeah, I thought it was, you get a special bat that says like it can hit home runs or something. I thought it was going to be that.
This one sends him flying, has a 24% chance, yeah.
But it's not.
You just run the bases. Oh, that's easy to do. Yeah, and the other one I have is just like a pickpocket. I just have to pickpocket a couple more times. And then I think like 5 more and I get that 50 that I needed. Then I have a couple of are just the different quest line. So I just have to choose the different quest line option. But what was really weird was that I got to the point where, so I sided with the railroad and I'm going in there and I talk to the one synth and he's like, oh, well, I need you to work with Father longer so I can, we can work on his plans. Just keep working with him and then I'll tell you when we're ready. So then I start working with Father, but I had a quest active for the railroad and then I talk to Father and suddenly his quest voids their quest. And I'm like, whoops. And so then it's like, I felt like, when am I keep talking with Father and working with him. I'm like, well, when the hell am I going to be able to start working for the railroad again? I feel like I'm becoming, suddenly they're grooming me to be director. I'm like, what's happening here? And then finally the synth is like, all right, let's do this. But I'm really curious what would happen if you kill Father immediately. Because I did that as a joke. And then I was like,
bam. Oh, that's what I did.
And then
you
it's like,
you get voided from the Institute.
Yeah, it's like escape. So how do you break back into the Institute?
It turns out the Institute is actually just underground directly beneath the CIT ruins.
Right, we know that. So how do you get in there?
So if you have the Brotherhood, you they go just with Liberty Prime and it just shoots a hole in.
So what does the railroad do?
The railroad breaks in through like a backdoor tunnel they find.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I was wondering, because like they did things like, oh, escape the Institute. And I'm like, well, there's enemies everywhere. And I was like, and at that point, you didn't have the teleport, at least when I did it, you didn't have the instant teleport out of the Institute option. So I'd have to go back up to the relay. And there's like a million and one synths at the top of the relay. So I'm like I went up there and the frame rate just took a dive while I was blowing through them all. There were so many. But then I reloaded and I said, all right, never mind. I'm just going to continue doing this because I want to explore this place. And I didn't find Virgil's serum, so I had to find that for him.
Yeah, the dude just wants to be human. Is that so much to ask?
Nope. But then I'm like, well, you guys created super mutants? You bunch of dicks. But I like that one guy that commits suicide because he didn't know what you were going to do. Like, I was like, what? You?
What guy commits suicide? I don't remember that.
There's a, who did you side with at the end? I'm assuming.
Railroad.
Yeah, Railroad. Yeah, it's the guy that helps you out in the Institute, who is he's the son of Father.
Oh, does he commit suicide? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, if you go back to the Railroad, what's her name gives you a letter, and it's from him, and he's telling you how you're a fucking asshole, and he had no idea that you would go around, you do what you did, because he didn't want any violence. And he goes, and you just fucking blow this whole place up, and he's pissed off. He was just helping you get the synths out.
Right.
And he was all pissed off and that you killed Father and everything, and blah, blah, blah. He's like, the only family I had, and then he committed suicide. I also like that Paladin Dance is a synth. I thought that was
Buzz,
funny.
Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah. And then, but a synth that's programmed to be a Brotherhood of Steel, or a Steel guy, that's really funny. I was like, I am a synth, but I hate synths still. Like,
that's no good. Yeah, he's got some identity issues to work out.
The George Clooney, but, yeah, I thought that was really funny. Yeah, I had fun with it. Like going around killing everything.
I had fun with it. I just don't think it was one of the better Fallout games. I think it was a good game on its own. I just don't think it was a good Fallout game.
I don't know. I only ever played 3. So compared to 3, I liked it better than 3. But because 3 was like, the one thing that problem I had with 3, it was a huge area, but it was so like few and far between the landmarks. Whereas like this was clearly smaller than Fallout 4, but it was super dense. And it was like, you know, there's always something to find. I like that. But yeah, I had fun with it. But yeah, I wouldn't include it like in a game of the year kind of situation. I mean, I guess it would be in there if you had to include, you know, so many games to choose from. Well, by default, they would have to be in there. Kind of like the Oscars having 10 nominees. It's like, well, if you have to fill out a bunch, it's like, well, you need to put it in there. But I wouldn't vote a game of the year.
Well, that's probably why it didn't win.
Yep. Exactly. But yeah, it was fun for what I played. But yeah, aside from that, much else. I started playing Rainbow Six Siege. That's fun. And then I guess that's basically it, because I haven't started any of the other games I need to start yet. Just Siege, and since I finished up Fallout. And I play that. There's the situations you can do that are all the single player stuff that unlocks renown, so you can buy operators. And there's this one on there that I did so many times that I could give you an entire step by step detailed walkthrough of how to complete that thing, because I've done it so much.
But, I need to figure out which game to play next myself. I'm thinking Talos Principle.
Yeah, I gotta play that at some point. I have it on Steam.
It's got a robot and a kitten on the cover. It's gotta be good.
I had been playing, I did play Lara Croft Go on my phone. That's a lot of fun. But I'm on the bonus ruins, I guess. And I'm actually stuck on a puzzle. I'm like, God damn it. And I have to figure out, this is going to take me forever to get this thing solved. I'm like, but hopefully I figure it out. But that's a lot of fun. And then I have Hitman Go as well, but I'll play that once I finish Lara Croft Go. But yeah, other than that, it's just playing Rainbow Six and then StarCraft 2. But we'll see. I have Tales from the Borderlands, so I can play it at some point as well.
Just need to play Final Fantasy, otherwise I will keep bugging you.
Mm-hmm. We're not even on the same server. So.
Help me build my Moogle house.
Transfer servers and build a Moogle house. I saw someone that are like, so many millions of dollars later, or whatever, and it shows like the picture of their Moogle house. Mm-hmm. It was really funny.
How does it work with like money that you had on retainers if you stopped playing and you don't pay for the retainers? Does it just disappear?
Like extra retainers?
Yeah, because like when I played, I had the extra retainers that I paid for since it was only like a dollar a month, and I had like many, mm-hmm. many millions on them. So I'm curious if that would just be gone or
what. No, it should restore, or they'll send everything to the Calamity Salvager NPC. Mm-hmm. and you'll just have to withdraw it from that NPC. But if you restore the retainer, it should restore everything that they had.
So I had obscene amounts of money. I could come back and just build like 16 Moogle houses.
Build me a Moogle house.
Dun, dun, dun.
Can you even glowing do that? Pom-pom you can build trees? Other people's houses. Oh no, I guess you can send. So, do you actually own your own house?
No.
Well, then I couldn't help you build a Moogle house.
I have an FC house, though. You could build me the Moogle things, and I'll stick them to the FC house, and they'll just have to deal with it.
Deal with it.
Quindy comes back on. He's like, what the hell is this?
Why are there Moogles?
This is my house.
What the Jake?
You weren't decorating it.
What in the name of Diabolos? Well, I guess that'll wrap it up, since, like I said, there wasn't much news. And we kind of went through what we were playing. Hopefully, maybe something will happen between now and next weekend. But who knows? We do need a secret word, I guess. So let's see.
EGDQ is this week. So.
It is. Doesn't it start tomorrow? It does.
At like 10 a.m., I think.
I want to watch that. I love AGDQ. I was watching the Zelda-thon Hope Marathon thing.
Too. Yeah.
And I kept laughing, thinking like, wow, there are so many Zelda games that look really bad.
Right?
I didn't realize. Like, I've never played those side games before. Man, some of them just look really bad.
The ones on DS were... bleh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was fun. That was a nice way to wind up. I think it's still going on today, isn't it?
No, it ended last night, I think.
Oh, well, it was a nice way to wind up for AGDQ.
Yeah. It was fun.
Well,
that could be our secret word, AGDQ.
AGDQ.
Yay.
AGDQ, secret word. Secret letters.
Secret letters.
Secret letters.
Secret acronym.
There we go. Let's see. I guess that'll be it for this episode. And then we'll just hopefully, like I said, hopefully there's something next time. Otherwise, we'll just have to keep talking about whatever whatever we're doing. But
I don't even have games to play. Well, I do. I have a lot of games to play.
Yeah, you have games to play. Just play it.
Talos. It's either going to be Talos Principle, or I've got the Uncharted collection sitting there.
Yeah, see, I want to finish all the games so I can go back and finish, because I was replaying Uncharted 3, because I've only played that one once, and I really wanted to go back and replay it again.
Well, I don't want to... I was going to dive into them like at the end of January, because Uncharted was supposed to come out in, what, March?
Mm-hmm.
But now with the delay, it's kind of like, well, you know, I want to play it closer to the release, so it's more like a four-part series.
So now you have to wait till February?
Yeah, so now I'll wait like a month. So I need to fill that month up with something else, and that'll either be, I don't know, Talos Principle, or like many of the PS Plus games that let slip like Broken Age.
Yeah, maybe I'll just do Talos Principle and Rainbow Six. I have that on my computer. I can just play it on there. And then...
You do Talos Principle, and then we can talk about it.
Yeah, I guess.
Do it.
Do
it.
All right. Maybe I will. Well, that'll wrap it up for this episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zaya.
Yep.
And we will see you guys next time.
Bye.
Later.